Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
And this guy's been busy today. He's busy every day. Ian Rappaport, National Insider for NFL.com, NFL Network, and of course the host of the podcast Rap Sheet and Friends, which drops Wednesdays at places where you get podcasts. Ian, what's up? How are you, buddy?
What's going on? How are you guys? It's lovely here.
You broke up there. I'm sorry.
Sorry, I'm in Dallas for the Winter League meetings, which is we got a lot going on here, but I'm happy to hang out with you guys.
Well, we appreciate that. So the latest news, we just saw your tweet a little while ago, was that the NFL has decided on a 2020 city, and they have chosen Las Vegas. Good choice.
Fantastic choice. I mean, let's be real. I wholeheartedly support this. And it's also interesting because, you know, for years, the NFL obviously steered clear of Las Vegas, of gambling, of any of the associations with casinos. And, you know, now that gambling has been legalized in some states and certainly seems headed in that direction, you know, the NFL will now seek a lead casino sponsorship, and they will embrace Las Vegas. And obviously the Raiders going there has a big part of that. It's going to coincide with the opening of the Raiders Stadium. And honestly, the whole thing is pretty cool. It's going to be on the strip, sort of base there, and it's going to be quite an extravaganza.
Also, the news coming out, salary cap up again, 40% increase over the last 5 years.
Yeah, and sorry, it's that time of afternoon. I'm getting a million text messages. You never quite know what it's going to be.
No problem, man.
Yeah. As far as like the biggest actual news to come out of these meetings, I mean, the draft site is a big one, but salary cap is a big one too. And you know, that's kind of what everyone wanted to know, is just how much money can I spend in March? And I think, you know, what has basically happened over the last 5 or so years is those teams that kind of kick the can down the road and continue to spend and continue to sort of stress their salary cap, those teams have been rewarded because the cap continues to go up. And it has been, it's led to a flurry of activity, a lot more trades because everyone has cap space. And it's been a lot of fun to follow, and I think that's going to continue.
Another interesting storyline, too, from there, Ian. What are the Raiders going to do next year? They're basically homeless for 2019 right now. Goodness. That's an ugly situation.
Yeah, and they're actually being sued by the city of Oakland. And, you know, that relationship, I think that ship has sailed, you know, because it's once the Raiders left, there was really no repairing anything that has gone on with that relationship. But, you know, right now it's really just a logistical issue. Like, all right, we know the Raiders are going to have a season in 2019. Where are they actually going to play? And, you know, people say, oh, well, maybe they, you know, move to Vegas early or, you know, go to Reno, I guess. But they also don't have a practice facility. So where actually are they going to, like, stay and live and practice? I do think Santa Clara, where the 49ers are, is a possibility. Mainly because the Raiders then wouldn't have to move their practice facility, and logistically they could do it.
Yeah.
But man, these things are hard, and you know, absent striking some sort of deal with the city of Oakland, this is a real issue for the Raiders.
Well, and think about Raiders fans too. They've got one more home game, and it's on Christmas Eve night against the Denver Broncos, and Raiders fans will be in that building knowing that's the last game. So there's probably going to be a little destruction going on.
Yeah, and you know, not to stereotype at all, because I would never do that, but sometimes Raiders fans can be a little demonstrative with their feelings. They are not, as a group, they are not shy. And sometimes they imbibe things that make them behave a certain way. So I would think it's going to get pretty lit. And the only kind of bummer is that the team isn't good, you know, because you'd like to send them out in a way where they sort of represent the really great tradition of the city and this franchise, but there's not this place as a football team.
What was the best thing you saw last week? Derrick Henry's 99-yard run? Was it the Miami Miracle? Mahomes' no-look pass? What was the best thing you saw last week?
Could add in Amari Cooper's tip drill touchdown to win it for the Cowboys in overtime. And it was a lot of them.
George Kittle, 210 yards and a half.
I played against him in fantasy. It just destroyed me. actually, I played against Derrick Henry, too.
Was he on the bench, though?
No, he was. My opponent, I'm second in my league. I'm the second seed of the playoffs, which start next week. I faced the worst team, and he was starting Amari Cooper, Henry, and George Kittle. I lost by 100 points.
Oh, my God.
It was a legit bloodbath. George Kittle apologized to me on Twitter. I've yet to hear anything from Derrick Henry, but whatever. I would say this about Henry. Like, his talent has never been in question, obviously, but he's an interesting and odd running back to use. Like, he's so big and he's so athletic, but he sort of needs to get ahead of steam a little bit. But if they can figure out ways to do that again and kind of get that desire out of him, like, he can be special. Because I honestly, like, I know the Jaguars got criticized after that game for, like, you know, the fight and lack of fight, but, like, what are they supposed to do? They literally couldn't tackle him. I mean, it wasn't close.
I know.
And there's not too many, you know, examples where I can remember where it's looked like that.
That's one run where I wish the field was like 300 yards long. Because, I mean, he just looked like he was inviting contact. Like, who wants some more? Who wants some of this?
Yeah, but you know that he was so tired at the end of that. He was like, just get me out of here. Get me to the bench. Get me some oxygen.
Titans opponent on Sunday, the Giants have been really the surprise team of the second half of the season. Won four of their last five, scoring a lot of points. And, you know, they got the rookie of the year running the ball and catching the ball in Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, like, the weirdest thing about the Giants is, you know, after the first half of the season, everyone was talking about, oh, are they going to tank and Eli's done, when to bench Eli. But they, as a franchise, really believed in what they had. And they really believed in Eli and the ability to be a viable team with the weapons that are on their roster. And obviously it looked bad at the beginning. But I think right now you can see where their faith is kind of rewarded. And, you know, I know they're killing themselves in the draft because they're getting worse draft picks, but it is a nice, important thing for a team to kind of understand and believe that you can win and to learn how to do it. And I do think this second half of the season will be valuable for the Giants.
One of the under the radar stories, I saw you actually tweeted about this, the guy, Derek Newton, who played for the Texans,
yeah,
tore both of his patellar tendons at once. This was 2 years ago, just got signed by the Saints. It's an unbelievable comeback story. And I'm trying to remember, Ian, do you know where he went to college?
Oh, dear.
Here we go.
Sandy?
It's the greatest four-year institution.
Oh, here we go.
In America.
It's not Vandy.
Arkansas State.
Not Vandy.
Arkansas State, my alma mater.
You know what? I did not know that, but I was very well aware of Derek. I remember his. I mean, he was good. You know, good player. Signed a nice contract extension.
Seventh round draft pick. Yeah.
Yeah, and came back from something that you're not supposed to come back from. I mean, you know, that is as devastating an injury as you can have, and then you have to rehab everything at the same time. I mean, that is a 2-year process, and I honestly can't believe he's back. It is an awesome story. And I really respect the fight that he had to actually get back on the field. I'm kind of looking forward to seeing it.
Me
Ian,
too.
We talk about mentioning injuries here. You see a lot of these college kids with NFL potential making the call to sit out bowl games, especially mm-hmm. this year, to get ready for the NFL draft. I know every situation's different, but what is the take of NFL teams, GMs, coaches, on a player that makes that decision? And does it affect how they view that player?
No, definitely does not. I mean, I would say the main thing NFL teams want is for the player to be healthy. Mm-hmm. I mean, bowl games are literally just games at weird places where there's not as many fans as you would for a home game. I mean, I've covered a lot of them. I mean, I spent 2 winters in Shreveport, Louisiana, mm-hmm. Covering Independence Bowls. I mean, it's, you know, they're literally just games. I think NFL teams really just want players to be healthy.
Good stuff.
Yeah, appreciate the time, Ian. No, there's a lot going on there, so we really thank you for breaking away.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. At Rap Sheet on Twitter, Rap Sheet and Friends.
Can you imagine his phone right now?
I mean, just look at his Twitter feed. He's been busy today. Yeah, appreciate the time. Arkansas State, huh? You always work that in there.
But he tweeted it. What a great story it was.
That is a pretty cool story.
He tore both of his patellar tendons. He was a seventh-round pick, real under-the-radar guy, was on the bench. Then he was part of a rotation. Then he got a starting job. Then he got a second contract and then tore both of his patellar tendon.
Oh, wow.
And at that time, they said, this could be it for this young man. And to his credit, he came back. It's a great, great story around the league.
615-737-1045 at 3HL1045 on Twitter. Brent Doherty, Mickey Ryan, Don Davenport. When we come back, some of the gaming information month to month in New Jersey is out there, and every state that hears this and sees this will be adding sports gambling to their dockets.